Again, we're glad that you're here today to study another portion of God's Word. We invite you to follow along in your Bibles or on the charts behind us for the things that we have to say and study today. I know different people that have been out of town for a number of weeks in various places. I know when you go to different places, you hear different things in different places. I know Jeff and Cindy, they were up in Boston. In Boston, they might say, well, we're going to go on the T. That means they're going to ride a train. Or it might mean you're going to go get a tonic. A tonic in Boston is a Coke or a soda. So it might be different things there. You might go the other side, and Robin and Chuck, they were in Hawaii, and aloha. It used to have different meanings. I don't know if it still does or not, but at one time it did. And wherever you've been, I'm sure you have special words or phrases that you might have heard while you're on vacation. And the same was true with us when we were on vacation. The phrase that I heard the most was, sit still. Sit still. We were in church, and I would hear Taylor say, sit still, sit still. The morning before we went to church on Saturday when we were in Bowling Green, that night she came in and she said, what do you want for breakfast the next morning? And said, we don't care. So the natural choice was Chick-fil-A. They said, well, we're going to go to Chick-fil-A. I said, what time are you going to Chick-fil-A? They said, we're going to go at 6 o'clock in the morning to Chick-fil-A. So I said, well, that's fine. So told them what I wanted. Lynn and I, we get up 5:45, go downstairs, like a doctor's office there. You got to be quiet. You know, you can't turn on TV because you wake the baby. Can't go over and get an ice cube out of the door because you'll wake the baby. So I sat there in my little chair waiting. So 6:30 comes along, 7 o'clock comes along. So I told Lynn, I said, about 6:15, I said, well, why don't I just go and get the Chick-fil-A? I'll be back in no time. She said, well, you don't know what their order is. She said, just be patient. I said, they'll be out in just a few minutes. Maybe he had trouble sleeping last night, and they've been up during the night. Maybe that's it. So I went over, and I sat down again. So about 7, between 7 and 7:30, they come out of the room there. And she says, what do you want from Chick-fil-A? I said, well, I told her what I wanted. I said, I'll be glad to go and get it. You know, we could have had Chick-fil-A an hour before if they let me go, you know, because I was up and ready to go at 6 o'clock to get it. And then she tells me, she says, you sit still and hold Connor. And we have an app, and we'll go get the Chick-fil-A, and we'll have to wait. So I was told, sit still. So that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Why do we sit still? This is where it's found in Jeremiah chapter 8 and in verse 14. There's other times in the Psalms and different places that the Lord, through inspiration, will say, be still. But this is one of the times in the Bible to where it says, sit still. When we see Jeremiah, just to give you a little context here, Jeremiah was written as Judah faced destruction and captivity. We see that it was the result of their idolatry, immorality, corruption, ungodliness, apathy. He exposes their arrogance and their false hopes. And he calls one last time for them to repent, which they ignore again and again. in Jeremiah chapter 8, and in verses 4 through 17, Jeremiah chapter 8, and in verses 4 through 17, says Jeremiah chapter 8, and in verse 4, beginning, it says, you shall say to them, says the Lord, do men fall and not get up again? Does one turn away and not repent? Why then has this people, Jerusalem, turned away in its continual apostasy? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. I have listened and heard. I have spoken what is not right. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course like a horse charging into the battle. Even the stork in the sky knows her seasons, and the turtle dove and the swift and the thrush observe the time of their migration. But my people do not know the ordinance of the Lord. How can you say we are wise? The law of the Lord is within us, and behold, the lying pen of the scribes, they have made it into a lie. The wise men are put to shame. They are dismayed and caught. They have rejected the word of the Lord. What kind of wisdom do they have? Therefore, I will give their wives to others, their fields to new owners, because from the least even to the greatest, everyone is greedy for gain. From the prophet even to the priest, everyone practices deceit. They heal the brokenness of the daughter of my people superficially, saying, peace, peace, but there is no peace. Were they ashamed because of the abomination which they had done? They certainly were not ashamed. They didn't even know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall, and at the time of their punishment, they shall be brought down, declares the Lord. And then he says in verse 14 again, Why are we sitting still? Why are we sitting still? They were perpetually backsliding over and over again. They have had their opportunities to change, and they did not. Corruption from the top down to the bottom. We see the prophets. They're going to tell whatever the kings want to hear. The priests also are lying during that time. We see that they're not ashamed of anything that they're doing here at this time. And therefore, total consumption is coming. In Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 14 again, why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves and let us enter the fortified cities. Let us be silent there. For the Lord our God has put us to silence and given us water of gall to drink, because we have sinned against the Lord. So we asked the question this morning, as Jeremiah called these people to repentance, why do we sit still? Why do some sit still? Well, some sit still because maybe they don't care. I've been told over 40 plus years by some people, I'll come, but don't ask me to do anything. I'm not going to do anything. Whether it's here within this building, whether it be like a class, whether it would be helping around the building in some way. There's just been some people over the course of my life that have just told me, I will come, but I'm not going to do anything. And some people just don't care. And many realize there are problems even within the church, but they are indifferent. Some are concerned, but not enough to do something. They close their eyes, just like Matthew says in chapter 13, quoting from Isaiah. They'll stop up their ears. There's some things we might be concerned about. We might be concerned about numbers. We might be concerned about money. But when it comes to some of the other things that we need to be concerned about, many times we're not. We have to care. Some people sit still because they are waiting for directions. It could be legitimate. Many people aren't self-starters, so there has to be some direction given sometimes. In Matthew and in chapter 20 and in verse 1 through 16, Matthew chapter 20 and in verses 1 through 16, he says, Matthew 20 and in verse 1, it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner went out early in the morning to hire the laborers for the vineyard. He had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day. He sent them out into his vineyard. He went out the third hour, saw others standing idle in the marketplace, said to those, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you.' And they went." So he's given them some direction. We see again those in the sixth, ninth hour. They go out, do the same. Even in the 11th hour, still giving direction to those to go out and to do the same. Why have you been standing here idle all the day long? He says in verse 6. And they said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said, "You go into the vineyard." And again, we see some problems that arise during this time. But in verse 16 it says, "So the last shall be first and the first last." Also, certainly we know the story of the one talent man. And leaders do have responsibility to give directions. But there isn't an excuse for idleness. I remember years ago in the country, a lady, she came to me and she would complain at different times, and she was complaining that day. And she said, you know, she said, "This building just isn't being cleaned very well." There was a little old lady that cleaned the building back then at this little country church. And she did the best that she could. And it did a good job to me all the time. But she came over and she told me, she said, "Look here," and it was just on the inside of one of the pews there. It was just like a little bitty wrapper. And the lady, she said, "You know, that wrapper has been there now for 4 weeks. That lady doesn't do a good job. She doesn't clean the building like she should." She said, "What do you think we all do about it?" I reached down. I picked up the wrapper. I said, "Here, put it in the garbage." A lot of times you try to catch people in different ways, trying to complain. But here we see again, if you see something that needs to be done, do it. Rather than complain or criticize like that lady was doing about that poor little old lady that just missed that little bitty candy wrapper for 3 or 4 weeks, where all she had to do was just pick it up. Why do we sit still? Some people sit still because they think that they have done enough. Maybe you've done more than your share. And maybe you've done more than your share because other people have sat still for years. I can remember in 1965, my grandfather, he retired from the LNN, and he was looking for things to do, so he was always over here at the building doing things. But as I got older, I thought about, well, you know, you've been doing things here since 1922. You know, time for somebody else to do something. And no, he was happy. He was tickled pink to be able to be used by the Lord in that way, in that time of his life. He had time. He was retired, and when many of the things needed to be done around this building in the 60s and especially the 70s, he was the one who was going to do it because he had time and he had the ability to do some of those things. In Galatians and in chapter 6 and in verse 5, Galatians 6 and verse 5, it talks about the fact that we all have a personal load to carry. In Galatians 6 and verse 5, it says, For each one shall bear his own load. Hebrews 10, again, they're wearing out. This is right before he talks about that great hall of faith, all these people that served the Lord. But these people in reality were wearing out. They were wearing thin. And he told them that you need to remain faithful to the Lord even though you are wearing thin. There's something set still because they are discouraged. There are failures. There are setbacks that occur. I don't know different places that I've seen over the course of time to where maybe some young man, 30, maybe 40 years ago, would get up and lead a song. And somebody would say, oh, well, you know, you just didn't do that song well. You didn't do that song justice. You just didn't. And I don't know if that boy ever led a song again. Because he was young. And someone discouraged him with some words. And it's caused many to stop. Many good Bible class teachers have stopped teaching Bible classes because of the fact someone maybe said something to them. The discouragement, it may be legitimate, but it's not an excuse to do nothing. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14, it says, Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing that I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In the old Koine Greek, the word there, press, meant to agonize or to over-agonize, about the situation, about what you could do to serve the Lord. That's what you were over-agonizing about. Maybe because some people are afraid, they sit still. Fear often paralyzes. I was reading, I don't know, it was on vacation somewhere, that I was reading either Wall Street Journal or USA Today or whatever it was. But they were talking about the human resource departments across America right now. And the problem that they're having with the human resource departments across America. And the problem is that young people today are coming in and they cannot communicate verbally with someone. They don't know how. They've been on that machine all their life. And they're texting with their thumbs. So, HR people now are trying to figure out what to do, because everyone needs bodies. Ford Motor Company needs bodies. GE needs bodies. UPS needs bodies. Everybody needs people. So they can't be choosy anymore. So what they're saying is now to these human resource people that what you need to do is you need to say, well, that's okay. You know, you'll be sitting right there in front of me and we'll be in an interview with each other and you text me and I'll text back to you. So you don't have to say anything. And maybe that's the culture that we're going to now. We don't go into grocery stores anymore. I know Taylor doesn't, because of convenience, having a child that she goes and picks up her groceries. She never goes in a grocery store. You don't have to go to a mall to shop for presents in the holiday season, or birthday presents, or whatever it might be. You can contact Amazon, and your gift will be there that same afternoon. So we're living in a culture now where verbally we don't want to communicate many times anymore. And many fear failure or rejection or mistakes. And thus many times they do nothing. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, perfect love casts out fear. And in Matthew 10, verse 28, what should we fear? I saw this quote a while back. Nothing in life is to be feared, only understood. So as we move along here, there's an appropriate time to sit still. Maybe to rest. To rest is good. People, they need so many hours of sleep. Jesus, he rested at the well, the woman at the well. And in Mark 6, verse 31, he told his disciples to rest here for a while. It might be that we pray to God. I still don't think that we pray as much as we should. Again, I think we pray when we get in jams. I think sometimes we pray when we've exhausted every effort to solve a problem on our own. I think it'd be good to pray to God when we have to make the decisions. And pray to God fervently before even a lot of these things happen. But I don't think overall people probably do that. Jesus found a solitary place to pray. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:6, he says to go into your closet. I think it's crucial to spiritual growth. Although I don't think we avail ourselves of it as much as we should. The time to sit still, to study God's Word, to meditate, to dwell on God's Word. He talks about, oh, how I love your law. Timothy was told to meditate on God's Word. And there's a time that God's Word will change people. It might not change, it might not change the people around you, just like prayer might not change the people around you. But the study of God's Word and praying to God, although it might not change them, it'll change you. And there's the time that we need for personal study. A time to sit still. A time to plan what is next. If you don't set a goal, if you don't set a target, you'll certainly hit that every time. God planned. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. Luke 14, when he talks about the man who didn't count the cost and how foolish that was. And good planning involves stopping and thinking. We talked this morning in our Bible class about grief. If you're not in the class, I encourage you to be a part of that as we talk about different issues in life. Grief, depression, loneliness, different things. There might be a time to weep or a time to mourn. Mourning, as I stated in the Bible class this morning, is a choice. You choose when to mourn. That of pausing for a few minutes, both physical and spiritual. He says, blessed are those who mourn. In fact, in Mark chapter 6 and in verse 31, this is after John is beheaded. Mark 6 and in verse 31, it says, he said to them, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest for a while. For there were many people coming and going, and they didn't even have the time to eat. And we need to examine ourselves. You might go through an examination at different times, maybe a medical examination you have periodically. To examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith, to prove yourselves. And that requires reflection. Oh yeah, there's a time to sit still, but there's a time to go to work. There is work to be done in the Lord's work. He said in 1 Corinthians 15:58, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Are we always abounding? Are we always abounding in the work of the Lord? Jesus said to work while it's still day in chapter 4 and in verse 34. When the disciples came back from getting food, they thought Jesus had already eaten because when they left him, he was just worn out by that well. And he said, well, his food was to do the will of the Father and to finish his work. And there's always something to be done. If it's not done, then the list continues to grow of things that has to be done. And then somebody has to do all those things. He condemns laziness, the one talent man, don't be sluggish. We should not, why should not sit still? Because Satan is working. He never takes any time off. Don't let him take advantage of you. Be sober. He walks about like a roaring lion seeking someone whom he may devour. We see that souls are lost. We have been blessed to be able to have baptisms in the last many years. And we're always glad when people come to the Lord, but there are still souls that are lost. We have open doors and we need to walk through those doors. The question is, are we looking? Others might need our help. Norman will talk about Lonnie in just a minute when he makes the announcements. They, like so many other people before them, are going to go through some challenging times. When you're sick, it plays on your mind a lot of times. It affects the husband and wife. Many times it affects the family. Even affects the family of God. So, all I can say regarding this is that we need to be mindful of doing things for people. Okay, maybe contacting people, especially texting people that we care. I know it's sometimes difficult to get to someone's home sometimes, but my guess is that they'll be back in Louisville within the next week or two, and you can show your love and concern at that time as well for things that are going on within people's lives. Not only them, but others as well that are having struggles in their lives at this time that need our help. When we sit still, we're not moving forward. In fact, he says we need to go on to perfection. So as we conclude today in 2 Corinthians and in chapter 6, and in verse 2, 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2, it says, "For he says at the acceptable time, I'll listen to you, and on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It's true, me and Connor was told to sit still. And there are times that you need to sit still. But there's times that we need to get up. And we need to do the things that are pleasing to the Lord. So look around and see some of the things that need to be done. You make your own list. And maybe see if you can accomplish some of those things, as we try to do as well. We'd encourage you that if you need to respond to the gospel by being baptized into Christ or to come back to your first love, invite you to come right now while together we stand and sing.